It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
Three on The Fan Hour 2 of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666. Is the phone number. Hit at 6 o'clock. Mike Francesa comes your way. Pete Hoffman in Manhattan. Ernie Acosta in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studio where nobody, of course, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
What about hockey's return to play scenario? We talk about it right now with Pierre LeBrun of TSN and RDS. Pierre, Joe and Evan here in New York. How you doing?
Pierre, how are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on. And don't forget The Athletic.
And The Athletic, of course.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
You're a busy man. TSN, RDS, The Athletic. This is why you make the big bucks, man. And you're the guy to talk to. You're the guy to talk to and pick the brain up because there's a lot going on here. Right now, are we looking at a 2014 playoff? That's the first, and it affects us here in New York because that would put the Rangers in the playoffs and the uncertainty around the Islanders as well. What are you hearing about kind of the status of that idea?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe it's semantics, but technically when sources on the return to play committee that I've heard from, it's not a 2014 playoff as much as a 2014 season resumption, and how do you get from the 24 teams to the 16 teams that make the actual playoffs, if that makes any sense. But still, bottom line is, yes, 24 teams returning to play is what the committee is talking about right now. There are a couple other scenarios on the table, but that's the one that has garnered the most traction. You know, the return to play committee was set up about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And at first, they were just like meeting once a week and spitballing different ideas and theorizing what a return to season would look like for hockey. I will tell you that basically since last Tuesday, so 8 days ago, the committee has met a bunch of times in a virtual manner. They've really gone at it here.
Right.
And they're trying to hash out all the details. And I think that, listen, I think they'll get to a format soon enough within the next week. But there is still a bunch of other outlying issues that will require more work. Everything from, you know, player testing to which cities that they're going to resume play in. You know, they're talking about a 2-city or a 4-city bubble. You know, there's a lot of other protocol issues that still have to be ironed out. But certainly, I think there's been some traction on what the season would look like if they play again.
So you're talking about, I was going to ask you about the location. So they're talking right now about 2 to 4 cities where they would play, you know, the rest of the season, the playoffs, however you want to say it. That's what we're looking at, two to four cities, and that's it? That would be the extent of it?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about right now. I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I only cover the NHL, but the NBA is focused on one city to host everything, right?
They've bounced between 1 and 2. It could
right,
be
right.
one. They've
two.
Talked about 2, but no
Las
more than
Vegas, Orlando. Yeah, right.
Yeah, no
right.
more than 2 from what I've heard with the NBA. Yeah.
So the NHL and NHLPA are focused on 2 to 4. And you know, so if you go 2, that means 12 teams in one city.
Right.
Where you create this massive bubble and a couple of hotels and practice facilities and obviously try to contain your footprint and not have, you know, players and staff walking all over town. Some of the cities that I know have been vetted by the NHL as potential hub cities include Las Vegas, includes St. Paul, Minnesota, includes Edmonton, Toronto, among others. And, you know, we'll see where they go from there.
Now, no fans in the arenas, right? I mean, we're talking about, if you know, like you said, 2 to 4 cities, no fans at all in the arena, right?
Correct. In fact, I had Steve Mayer, the NHL's chief content officer, a.k.a. their events guru. He was on my podcast earlier today, and he confirmed that they're obviously coming back without fans. Now, where it goes from there over time, we'll see, right? Late summer, early fall, depending on where it goes, but certainly, you know, when they drop the puck, it'll be without fans. And, you know, they haven't even committed to an exact timeline for a drop
right,
the puck.
Right.
I do think they'd like to take advantage of the Summer Olympics, you know, having been postponed a year, that, you know, there's a TV partner there for the NHL that is looking for programming, and which means that mid to late July could be ideal to drop the puck for the NHL, but that's only if they can really get everything else organized.
You know, so in the NBA's case, part of why they want to play some regular season games is they need to get some of these local teams to 70 games, and that would guarantee more money from some of the local networks that air. The NHL, A, is it similar with them? And B, you've got some teams that are at 70. You've got some teams at 68, 69, kind of in that range. Is there any importance at all to playing some regular season games to get to a threshold like that?
So, on paper, yes. So it's very similar. I mean, there are regional TV partners that whose contract hasn't been completely honored yet. That's where it gets fuzzy, because that's why right off the top you said, well, is it a 24-team playoff? I said, no, they'll come back with 24 and get to the 16-team playoff. And maybe it is semantics, especially if you're talking about a play-in to get from 24 to 16. But maybe it's not semantics, because – And I have not had this part confirmed to me, but it may be that whatever formula the Return to Play Committee is trying to get to here to get from 24 to 16, that those are games, whether it's a play-in or a round-robin games, that could satisfy some regional TV obligations.
Gotcha.
Before they go national, yeah.
Right.
Now, again, that's me more theorizing, but it would certainly make sense.
Pierre, is there a drop-dead date? I mean, you know, you're saying that, you know, talking about dropping the puck maybe July, you know, you mentioned, I guess, NBC is the network that you're talking about, and the big TV partner for the NHL. But is there a point of no return where if we don't start it now, it's not happening? Is there a drop-dead date like that?
So here's the best way I would answer that from a hockey perspective. Commissioner Gary Bettman has come out a couple of times in interviews over the last month and admitted that the NHL is ready to delay next season, 2021, for December. Start in December instead of October.
Right, okay.
So the way it was explained to me by a source is, work yourself backward from the end of 2021 to give you an idea of what they have to work with for 1920. So I know for a fact the NHL schedule maker has worked on some model that has a full 82-game season for the NHL starting in December and ending in July. Stanley Cup in July, baby, for 2021, okay?
Okay.
So if you're ready to start in December, and by the way, it doesn't mean necessarily they will. I mean, I think it just tells you that it's a possibility is all. But if you know you can pull that off, then it means that really you have anywhere from July through August to complete the 1920 season. That's the way I would look at it. So, yes, ideally, because of your TV partner, it'd be great to start in mid to late July and have the rest of your season play into September. That would be ideal. But if there are circumstances out of your control in terms of local governments and health authorities and everything else dictating that you have to wait a bit, the NHL can still play this into September and October if they wish.
We're talking to Pierre LeBrun, of course, of The Athletic, TSN, RDS Hockey Insider. The NBA, I think, wants to do kind of a similar thing of pushing the season back. And a part of their thinking is they want to try to get fans in the seats next year. And we've been talking about this on the air, too, about how much revenue is brought in from that. We've heard baseball, what that number may look like. Same for the NFL. Any idea how much of the revenue for the NHL is brought in by fans in seats, by parking, by everything that obviously goes along with that kind of fan experience in the arena?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, way more than the NBA. Not a total number. I mean, way more reliant on gate revenue is the NHL than the NBA and the NFL and MLB. Like,
wow.
You know, by the fact that the NHL's TV deals, both in Canada, which is actually for more money, and in the U.S., they pale in comparison to what the NBA and the NFL and MLB pull in TV-wise. Gate is huge. Now, they're okay without the gate to finish this year because 85% of the regular season has been played. So all those tickets have been bought and all that's already in the bank. But when you're talking about 2021, you're bang on. That's exactly another reason why they'd be ready to delay the season.
Makes sense.
To wait till it's safe to get fans in the building. And listen, you're going to see a lot of overlapping, I think, of common sense between the NBA and the NHL, who are pretty good partners in general. A lot of the guys know each other from women and men know each other from the front offices for both the league offices. And they have to, because they share a lot of arenas leagues. So I think you're going to see a lot of similar protocols over time there. But no question, delaying the season, one of the great benefits is hoping, with your fingers crossed, that either we get a vaccine for this thing, or at least have a better understanding, or the pandemic's in a better place, you know?
Sure.
All right. So we come back. I just want to see how this, if this is the format we'd be talking about. So teams 9 through 12 right now in each conference would play, let's say, two teams playing two out of three series between four teams. Is that fair to say? To be a play-in to get into the round of eight. Yes?
Yeah. So what I would tell you is that at one point last week, I think there was something to that. I will tell you that since last Saturday morning, a lot of the formulation has changed a bunch of times.
Okay.
Part of it is that there's been some pushback both from the player's side and at the team front office side that it was unfair. So I'll give you a specific example. There was one model that would see fifth place Pittsburgh Penguins play 12th place Montreal in a play-in. Not a playoff, but a play-in to get into the playoffs. And originally, I think the idea was best of three. Well, the Penguins are 15 points ahead of the Montreal Canadiens.
Right.
I think there were people saying, you know, hockey, the parity in hockey is unbelievable. Carey Price of the Montreal Canadiens could stand on his head, and the next thing you know, the Penguins are out in
sure.
two.
No question. So, no doubt. No doubt.
So I think the pushback has been the play-in should be a best of five, not a best of three. Now, I don't know if that's going to end up being. So this is literally what the two sides keep going at over the last several days, is what is the fair formula to get from 24 to 16.
Yeah. Look, this is a compliment towards hockey, and it's your point, Pierre. It's got such great balance.
No question about it. Anybody could win.
Yeah, I don't think a best of five is necessarily going to cure that, or even a best of seven, because we've seen it before.
Right.
When dominant regular season teams
win
the President's Trophy. We saw it last year with Tampa, and they're gone before you know it. So I don't know if best of five, best of seven, best of nine is going to change any of that.
Yeah, and that's just it. Once you allow, if they do end up allowing 24 teams, which again is the model they're looking at now. Now, I can tell you, I've spoken to some general managers who would prefer 20 teams because they feel it would be a better balance of the teams that were actually in the race. But if you allow 24 teams in, you have to allow in your mind that Chicago and Montreal, the 23rd and 24th ranked teams, could run the table. That's hockey. I mean,
you
mentioned Tampa Bay. They won an NHL record 62 games last year. They tied the record and were swept in the first round. Welcome to the NHL. I mean, so, you know, the Rangers were playing some of the best hockey in the National Hockey League when the season went on pause. Who wants to play them if they can get on the same track? So, listen, I spoke to a player recently who's on the committee, the Return to Play Committee. He said it best. Once you accept that nothing we come up with is going to be loved by everyone, then you can go on with your day. Because that's just the truth. It's not going to please everyone.
And it's also, like in the NBA, the eight teams in the East and the eight teams in the West are pretty much set. Now, they're separated by a decent amount. We've talked about it since it's closed. The New York Islanders are a point behind Columbus, but they've got two games in hand.
Right.
So,
right.
based on point percentage, they're really ahead of them. So, there was no great answer to saying, all right, let's just go with the format that we have. It wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair to Columbus. It certainly wouldn't be fair to my team in the Islanders. And even the Rangers are only one point behind that. So it does seem like they have to do something like you suggested just to get teams into the playoffs. You can't just say, all right, let's just close it down where we stopped it and go from there, because somebody's missing the playoffs who shouldn't miss the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And I think even if it was 20, which I think is a format that's not getting as much traction. But even at 20, you're getting a lot of the teams that are in the race involved, you know, 10 on each side.
Right.
But at 24, you totally protect yourself. It's just that, you know, as one GM told me last week, the Montreal Canadiens and the Chicago Blackhawks were sellers at the trade deadline on February 28th. I mean, the Habs sold off three players. The Chicago Blackhawks traded Robin Lehner, a very good goalie, to the Vegas Golden Knights. Do you think if someone told them that day that they'd still be in the mix, that they would have done that? So right. I guess that's what is bugging some people. But again, and the league would never come out and admit this, but let's be honest, guys. If you have the chance to include two original six markets in Chicago and Montreal, you're probably going to want to do that. And not to mention, of course, the Rangers.
Yeah. No.
No question.
No question. So, Pierre, give me a percentage. What do you think? 50-50? First of all, that we have any season at all. That we have any season at all this year. How would you give me a number?
Yeah. And boy, it changes every week. I am so concerned. When you start pulling on that thread of what it looks like with the testing and the bubble and positive tests, it really scares me. But they are so adamant on saving this season. Like I said, they've given themselves a lot of leeway time-wise. I will say 70% chance that there's a season.
Okay.
Yeah, and it sounds as if the commissioner, Gary Bettman, is confident about that. I mean, we've heard Adam Silver talk more openly about the possibility of the NBA season being canceled. I don't think we've ever heard that from Gary Bettman. He seems laser focused on this actually happening and pulling it off.
Yeah, no question. That's been the focus from the get-go. And we'll see what happens. By the way, this is an important thing to point out, like in any of the leagues. But once the Return to Play Committee comes up with a package and a format and all the other protocols, the NHLPA has to vote on it. You know, the players will have a say. Now, I think it'll just be the 31 player reps, but they'll gauge their teammates' interest in the matter. That's going to be interesting. I mean, I've heard from players, especially veteran players with kids, who are concerned about all this, about the safety of it and the health dynamic to it all. I think the younger single player who feels invincible just wants to get back at it. But it'll be interesting, you know, when the time comes to vote. To see how the players feel.
But for teams like, and one of them locally is the New Jersey Devils, they're not coming back at all. Is there any scenario where the Devils are playing any kind of games?
No, I mean, and again, the league hasn't come out and made this official what we're talking about here, but every indication we have through all our sourcing is that the bottom seven teams, at least the bottom seven teams in the standings are out. If not more, but that would knock out the Devils, yeah.
So, and coming back would be, it's really basically, you could say play in, whatever you want, but it would be playoff scenarios where we're talking series, maybe 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, maybe eventually you get to the finals or the conference finals, the cup finals, 4 out of 7. That's what we're looking at. We're not looking at any kind of individual games now.
I don't know. Hold on, yeah. Hold the phone
because
part of the back and forth that's happening right now in the committee is that there are some on the committee that believe that before you get to that play-in series, that best of three or best of five, that maybe there should be a round robin of sorts within your hub city, not just to legitimize, you know, where teams were sitting in the standings, but also to help the players ramp up. After being off the ice for four to five months. So there is some chatter of that, maybe a handful of games that have some meaning before you get to the play-in. But there are others, I can tell you, on the committee who absolutely believe it should be straight to a play-in and then a playoff. So see what goes out of it.
Right.
Especially if
you're going to have like seven teams that are out no matter what, right?
Exactly. So maybe you want to get more games than just three.
Yeah, but what I was going to say, because we've said this about the NBA, is let's take the Boston Bruins as an example. They are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, no matter how you dice it. Can you ask them to sit around, get ready, and then boom, you're in the playoffs? Shouldn't they play a few games? And you could call it a regular season game against, let's say, the Capitals. You know, play a couple of games. You count it as regular season games, but really, they're preseason games. They're getting the guys ready for what is the NHL playoffs, because I can only imagine going from 0 to 1,000. You know, we know how intense the NHL playoffs are. Yep, you're getting ready for a season, and boom, it's the playoffs, as opposed to playing some kind of game.
I mean, listen, the playoffs are great in all four of our leagues, but you really see it the opening week of the NHL playoffs, the physicality of a first-round playoff series, these guys become crazy. I mean, the level of hitting goes through another, a whole other level. Imagine trying to do that after not playing hockey for 4 months. I mean, it's almost dangerous to think about. So, yeah, I think there are certainly players I've spoken to that hope that they can play games before they play playoff games. And I think there's different ways you can do that. As you mentioned, for Boston, it would just be to ramp up physically.
Right.
But for other teams on the bubble, it might be to sort of classify where they are in the play-in. You know, are you a lower-ranked team or a middle-ranked team? So it'd be interesting to see if they decide to do that or if they decide to go straight to a play-in. But either way, it'll be interesting.
Sure will.
All right, so but you say, PS, 70% that we will see a conclusion to the 1920 NHL season.
Well, I don't have a PhD, so I'm not a. Despite the fact I'm glued to news on COVID, I am not an expert on where this is headed in terms of a disease. But you're asking me, from what I gather from talking to NHL people, yeah, they're going to do everything they can to pull this off. So I'll put it at a 70.
All right. We're excited to see it. And Pierre, we appreciate you coming on today, man. Stay safe.
Thank you, Pierre. Appreciate
right
it.
Right on, man.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Be well. Be safe. Yep.
Pierre LeBrun, hockey insider for TSN RDS, The Athletic, the latest on hockey's plans to reopen. It's uncharted territory because, obviously, to have the halt that we've had for a few months to then say, let's flip the switch and have the playoffs, it's a complicated thing. But what I'm happy about is if they return to play, they're going to solve an issue that we mentioned right when they stopped, which is, what do you do with the teams that are kind of on the brink of the playoffs?
Right.
The Islanders, the Rangers, Columbus. I mean, are we just saying these are the eight playoff teams? You can do that in the NBA. There's enough distance between the teams to do that in a fair way. I don't think you can really do that in the NHL.
Yeah.
And so the idea is creative. The idea is creative.
It is creative. It's very strange, though, to have regular season games, and then, but not every team is playing them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the one thing that kind of is very weird to me. You're going to have seven teams that are not coming back to play at all, but you still might have regular season games. I have a hard time wrapping my head around
but,
that.
But if you think about it this way, you know what? We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'll give you a scenario in the NBA where I think it makes sense in my head. Maybe you'll disagree. Plus, we'll get back to your calls at 877-337-6666. We got some classic sports to talk about, plus the Sterling Five. We're here this afternoon until 6:00.